Good morning. It's good to see you this morning, dear friends. It's been a wonderful day of worship so far. So certainly a beautiful Lord's Day. I want to begin our lesson this morning by putting a word on the slide behind me, and I just want to see what you think about this word. The word I want you to consider this morning is the word commitment. Commitment. What immediately pops into your mind whenever you see that word commitment? Someone says, well, Sean, whenever I see the word commitment, I immediately think about the definition of the word. I immediately think about devotion and dedication and loyalty and faithfulness. Someone else says, well, whenever I see the word commitment, I immediately think about my spouse. I think about my husband or my wife. I think about how for over the past few decades, I've done my best to be faithful and committed to them. And still someone else says, well, whenever I see the word commitment, I immediately think about my job. I think about my career, or I think about my country, or I think about a sports team I may play on, or I even think about this church. I think about how for over the past few years of my life, I've done my best to be faithful and committed to this local church. Do any of these kinds of things pop into your mind whenever you see the word commitment? Well, if so, then I want you to know that that's a good thing. That's a noble thing. It is certainly a good and noble thing to be committed to those kinds of things in your life. But now let me ask you this. Now let me ask you about Jesus. Now let me ask you about your Savior. Now let me ask you about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I mean, as you evaluate your own life this morning, can you honestly say that you're committed to Him? Can you honestly say that you are devoted and loyal to Jesus? I ask you that question because it is interesting to me how all throughout the Gospels, all throughout Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, one of the big topics that Jesus seemed to talk about over and over again was the topic of commitment. I mean, haven't you noticed that in your Bible reading? Haven't you noticed that Jesus talks a lot about commitment throughout his ministry? For example, in Luke 6 and verse 46, he says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things that I say? John 14 and verse 15, he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Matthew 6 and verse 33, he says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Brothers and sisters, all of those verses are about commitment. They're all about devotion and loyalty to Jesus. And then you put that with what we read in our Bible reading, or in our scripture reading, I'm sorry, over in the Gospel of Luke. Will you go back to Luke chapter 9, please? And I want to reread, for the sake of emphasis, verses 23 and 24. Now, as you turn there, remember our theme this year as a local church is experiencing the fullness of Christ. We're trying to draw closer to Jesus. We're trying to know Jesus better than ever before. That's our goal this year as a church. And because of that, guess what? We're going to have a lot of sermons about Jesus. We're going to have a lot of sermons about knowing Jesus and understanding Jesus and doing things according to the scripture so we can become more like Jesus. And so let's study something from what Jesus said in his ministry over in Luke chapter 9. In verse number 23, Jesus saith this, Luke 9:23, if anyone wishes to come after me, anyone, me or you, if you wish to come after Jesus, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it. I want you to let those verses kind of just soak for just a moment. I want you to notice how there in those verses, Jesus is clearly talking about commitment. He's clearly talking about devotion. He's clearly talking about discipleship. Notice how Jesus says that being a disciple of his, it requires more than just claiming to be a disciple. It requires more than just claiming to be a Christian or just coming to a couple of worship services on Sunday or just filling a pew every now and then. No, according to Jesus, being a true disciple of his, it requires commitment. It requires devotion. It requires coming to him on his terms and truly counting the cost of what it means to be one of his people. In these verses, the Lord Jesus, he's talking about commitment. In fact, I want you to notice how he highlights in verse 23 at least three very specific things that I have to do and that you have to do if we're going to be truly committed to him. First, notice how Jesus says that if we're truly going to be committed to him, if we're truly going to come after him, then the first thing we got to do is we have to deny ourselves. I have to deny myself. You have to deny yourself. Don't you see that language in the text? I want to suggest to you that language Jesus uses there, that is some very challenging language. That is some very challenging language used by the Lord. In fact, that language that the Lord uses there is actually a paradox. Do you know what a paradox is? You know what a paradox is? A paradox, brothers and sisters, is a statement that on the surface appears to be contradictory and illogical and even impossible, and yet it is true. Yet it is real. Yet it is necessary to be done. That is essentially what a paradox is. And Jesus used paradoxes all throughout his ministry. Haven't you noticed that? Haven't you noticed how the Lord used paradoxes all throughout his ministry? For example, look back again at Luke 9 and verse 24. You still in Luke 9? Look at verse 24. Notice how Jesus says there that if you want to save your life, then you first got to what? You got to lose your life. That's a paradox. You then go to John chapter 9 and verse 41. And there Jesus says that if you want to truly see, you first got to become blind. And then several times in the Gospels, he says this statement. He says, the last shall be first, and the first what? The first last. All of those statements are paradoxes. All of those statements are statements that appear to be absurd and contradictory and even impossible, and yet they're used by Jesus to teach deep spiritual truths. They're used by Jesus to get us to think critically about what it takes to be a disciple. Jesus is using a paradox here in this verse. But here's the real question. The real question is, what does he mean? What does the Lord mean here? What does he mean when he says that if I want to come after him, that I must deny myself? Well, my dear friends, that word deny that Jesus uses there literally means to disown. Jesus is saying that if I really want to come after him and be one of his people, I have to disown myself. I have to disown the things that I may personally want to do in my life in order to serve him, in order to please him. That's what Jesus means when he used the word deny. In fact, this word deny that is used here is actually the same Greek word that is used to describe Peter's actions in Matthew 26 and verse 72. Remember that? Remember how after being questioned by a servant girl, if he was a follower of Jesus, remember the Bible says that Peter, and we talked about this morning, Peter denied it with an oath. He denied it with an oath. That word deny there means to disown. Peter disowned Jesus. Peter disowned the fact that he knew Jesus. Peter disowned the fact that he was a follower of Jesus. That's the word that's used to describe Peter's actions there. And that's the same word that Jesus is using here in Luke 9 and verse 23. The word deny that Jesus uses means to disown. It means that if we're really going to come after him and be his people, we must disown our own personal will in order to do his will. That's what the Lord commands, and that is something that is promoted all throughout the gospel, right? For example, and I'll go through these very quickly. You might want to just jot these down or get a copy of the outline on the website. In Romans 12 and verse 1, Paul says this, therefore, he's talking to Christians, therefore I urge you by the mercies of God to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. There in that verse, Paul is talking about self-denial, putting the will of Jesus even before our own will. You go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 19 through 20. And there, as Paul talks about our bodies, our physical bodies, he says our bodies are not our own, but we've been bought with a price. We've been bought by the blood of Jesus, and therefore the responsibility that comes with that is we must glorify God in our bodies. You then go to Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. And Paul says that once he became a Christian, he no longer lived for himself, but instead Christ lived in him. That essentially means that Christ literally influenced every decision he made in his life. He totally lived his life for Jesus. And then over in Philippians 3 and verse 7, Paul says that he was so consumed in living for Jesus that he was willing to give up all of the things of this world just so he could gain Jesus. That's how committed he was to the Lord. The question, though, is what about me? What about you? What about us this morning? I mean, how committed are we to Jesus? How much are we willing to deny ourselves in order to come after Jesus? I mean, right now in your life, my friend, are you truly denying yourself for Jesus? Or are you denying yourself when it comes to your entertainment? I mean, when it comes to the kind of stuff we watch on TV, when it comes to the kind of movies we watch, the kind of music we listen to, even when it comes to the kind of stuff we're looking at on the internet, are we giving Jesus the ultimate say in that kind of stuff? Are we allowing Jesus to influence our decisions when it comes to that kind of stuff? Are we entertaining ourselves with the kind of stuff that we know he approves of? Are we denying ourselves when it comes to our entertainment? And are we also denying ourselves when it comes to our marriages? When it comes to how we interact with our spouse on a daily basis, are we doing that in a way that we know pleases Jesus? Are we talking to them in a way that we know pleases Jesus? Whenever we start having problems in our marriages, whenever our marriages start to get a little rocky, do we look to work out those problems and stick it out because we know that's what the Lord commands? Or do we just give up and get a divorce? Are we denying ourselves when it comes to our marriages? And what about when it comes to the real harsh stuff in life? What about when it comes to the really hard commandments? What about when it comes to forgiving people who have done us wrong? What about when it comes to doing good towards someone that we know hates us and can't stand our guts? What about when it comes to abstaining from having sex with our boyfriend or with our girlfriend? Or when it comes to respecting and submitting to the judgment of the elders of this church? Or what about when it comes to obeying the instructions that the Lord gives us to go to a brother or sister whenever we have a problem with them face to face and try to work that problem out face to face instead of going and gossiping about them behind their back? What about when it comes to obeying what the Lord says about salvation? What about when it comes to obeying the simple teaching of Scripture when it comes to getting our sins washed away by the blood of the Lamb? What about when it comes to obeying a simple verse like Mark 16 and verse 16, where Jesus said, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved? When it comes to the will of God concerning baptism, what do we do? How do we respond? I mean, do we do whatever we personally want to do when it comes to that? Do we do what our parents want us to do, or our preacher wants us to do, or our friends want us to do? Or do we humble ourselves before Jesus, deny our own personal will in order to do what he says? But I just want you to see, my friends, this being a disciple. Being a disciple, it's not easy. It's very challenging. Jesus says that if we're really going to be committed to him, and he requires commitment, if we're really going to come after him, then it starts with denial. We have to deny not him, but we have to deny ourselves. Jesus says you must deny yourself if you're going to come after me. And then after you deny yourself, the second thing you got to do is you got to take up your cross. You got to take up your cross every single day. Do you see that in the text? Let me ask you something. What do you think of first whenever you see that language? Take up the cross. I don't know about you, but whenever I see that language, take up the cross, I can't help but think about Jesus. I can't help but think about that faithful Friday morning 2,000 years ago, when after he was beaten and scourged and spit on, he literally bore his cross to the place called Golgotha, where he would be crucified. I can't help but think about that. I can't help but think about how if anybody knew how to bear a cross, Jesus did, right? Jesus bore a cross, and notice how he says that if we're going to come after him, then guess what? We got to bear a cross too. I got to bear a cross every day. And you got to bear a cross every day. The question is, how do we do that? How do we bear a cross every day? Well, as we begin trying to figure out what the Lord is saying here, let me begin by suggesting to you that obviously the Lord's words in this verse are not meant to be literal, right? I mean, I think we can all agree that here in this verse, the Lord is not telling us to literally go out and find a huge cross somewhere and carry it for several miles around Phoenix, Arizona. I think we can all agree that the Lord is not using literal language here. Instead, he's using figurative language, right? He's using figurative language. In fact, he's using figurative language to talk about at least two things. The cross meant at least two things to Jesus. First, when you study the cross carefully, you see that the cross for Jesus, it meant suffering. We got to be willing to suffer. Haven't we been talking about that in our Bible class so far? We got to suffer for Jesus. Go back to Luke chapter 9. Notice again what Jesus said in verse 22. Before even giving us these instructions in verse 23, in Luke 9 and verse 22, he said, the Son of Man must what? He must suffer. He must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised up on the third day. Notice how Jesus said, I have to suffer for the cause of God. I have to suffer in order to accomplish the will of my Father. The cross meant suffering for Jesus. And it should also mean suffering for us. Go over to Revelation now. Revelation chapter 2. We often use this verse, but I want to keep it in this context. And I want to try to use this verse correctly here in Revelation 2 and verse 10. Revelation 2 and verse 10. Jesus told the church at Smyrna, Revelation 2:10, do not fear what you are about to suffer. These Christians in Smyrna were going to suffer for the cause of God. He says, behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison so that you will be tested and you will have tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful unto death. The idea there is really be faithful, even if it means you giving your life for the cause of the gospel, like Stephen did in Acts chapter 7. Be faithful, even if it means you got to die for the cause, and I'll give you the crown of life. Jesus says, you be faithful to me, even if it means you have to die for me, and I will give you a home in heaven. In fact, when you look at verse number 13 of this same chapter, you see that there was a Christian who did that, a man named Antipas. He died for the cause of Christ. And then go over to 1 Peter. Go back to 1 Peter. Remember, suffering is a big part of Peter's epistle. 1 Peter 4 and verse 16. What does Peter say? 1 Peter 4 and verse 16. But if anyone suffers as a Christian, he is not to be ashamed, but he is to glorify God in this name. There's so many other verses we could look at, my dear friends, but you get the point, don't you? You see very clearly that part of being committed to Jesus, it involves suffering. It involves suffering like Jesus suffered, but not only does it involve suffering, a second thing the cross involves is it also involves sacrifice. Sacrifice. You see, like Jesus willingly gave up and sacrificed his perfect life on a cross for us, guess what we have to do? We got to be willing to sacrifice for him. We got to sacrifice for Jesus. And that Paul's point in Romans 12 and verse 1, going back to Romans 12 and verse 1, Paul says, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice. God expects us to sacrifice. Like Jesus sacrificed for us, we got to be willing to sacrifice for him. We got to be willing to give up something in order to faithfully serve the Lord. That's a critical aspect of being a disciple, brothers and sisters. The question is, am I willing to do that? Are you willing to do that? Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to do whatever is necessary to take up the cross and come after Jesus? Are we willing to suffer for Jesus? Young people, are you willing to stand with Jesus and suffer with Jesus? Even if it means that obeying him and his gospel is not going to be cool and popular with your friends. Are you willing to suffer mockery from your peers because you refuse to do the same kind of sinful stuff that they may do? You refuse to drink. You refuse to smoke marijuana. You refuse to use dirty and filthy language. Are you willing to suffer with Jesus? Are you willing to sever relationships with members of your family because you want to give up being part of a denominational church in order to be a faithful member of his church? Jesus' church. Someone says, well, I don't think Jesus would want me to put him before my family. My friend, you need to go back and read the gospel more carefully. You need to read Matthew 10:37. You need to read where there Jesus says, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. There Jesus clearly says that he's got to have first place. He's got to come even before your family. And so are you willing to suffer persecution at the hands of your family because you want to serve Jesus? Are you willing to lose your job because you refuse to do something dishonest or unethical that your boss may want you to do so you can get the company more money? Or are you willing to risk people calling you an unintelligent, hateful bigot because you stand against the same kinds of things that the Bible stands against? You stand against gay marriage. You stand against homosexuality. You stand against cohabitation. You stand against abortion. You stand against men dressing up, looking, trying to look like women, and women dressing up and trying to look like men. Are you willing to stand with Jesus and be persecuted because you believe that stuff? Are you willing to suffer for Jesus? And are you willing to sacrifice for Jesus? Are you willing to sacrifice some time away from watching TV, an hour or two a week, so you can do your Bible lesson and prepare for Bible class? Are you willing to sacrifice 5 or 10 minutes every day so that you can read one chapter a day from a daily Bible reading schedule? Are you willing to sacrifice a couple of cups of coffee throughout the week so that you can give a little bit more to the Lord this year? Are you willing to sacrifice some voluntarily overtime on your job so you can attend Bible class on Wednesday night? Are you willing to sacrifice a quarter of sitting in the pew so that you can step up and teach a Bible class whenever you're called upon by the shepherds? Are you willing to sacrifice an hour or two of sleeping in on Sunday so that you can attend all of the services on the Lord's Day instead of just this one right here? Are you willing to sacrifice these kinds of things in order to be committed to Jesus? My friends, if you are mad at me right now, or if you're going to answer no to any of these questions I just asked, then let's just be honest about the situation. Can we be honest? Let's just honestly admit this morning that while you may technically be a Christian, while you technically may be a member of the Lord's church because you have been baptized, the fact of the matter is you're not really a disciple. You're really not all in for the Lord. You're not really totally sold on making Jesus the Lord of your life. You see, Jesus being the Lord of our lives, that's not about convenience. That's not about personal preference. It's not about serving Jesus only if it doesn't get in the way of stuff I already want to do. That's not what it means to make Jesus Lord. But making Jesus Lord means we're committed to him. We're willing to deny ourselves. We're going to deny the things we personally want to do in order to put him first. And we're going to take up the cross daily. We're going to suffer for him. We're going to sacrifice for him. Then after we do those things, the third thing Jesus says we got to do is we then got to come and follow him. We got to go and follow him. Isn't that what he said there? Take up your cross daily, and then you come and you follow me. In just a few minutes, we're going to sing a song that Brother Austin is going to lead us in. It's called, I've Decided to Follow Jesus. Do you know that song? I've Decided to Follow Jesus. That's a great song. That's a wonderful song, and I'm glad we're going to sing it. But here's the real question. The question is, when we sing this song in just a few minutes, are we going to mean the words? Are we going to mean the words of this song? When we sing this song, are we really going to know what it means to truly follow Jesus? I want to suggest that following Jesus involves at least three things. First, it involves devotion. Devotion. Loyalty. Reverence. Respect. True allegiance. It also involves trust. It also involves doing whatever the Lord requires of me, even when it's hard, even when it's difficult, even when doing it is something, doing what he says is something that maybe I don't agree with initially, or maybe I even don't fully understand why he's asking me to do this. I'm still going to do what he says because I trust him. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. You know this verse, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll make your path straight. The Bible says, I got to trust the Lord. I got to trust him. You know what else I got to do? I got to stick with him. Too many Christians leave the Lord. Wouldn't you agree? I'm so sick of seeing that. They leave the Lord. You know, so often we say when a Christian falls away, we say, they left the church, and there's some truth in that. They left God's people, that's true. But even above leaving us, you know who they really left? They left Jesus. They left the Lord. They didn't stick with the Lord. It reminds me of what we find over in John chapter 6. You know John chapter 6. Let's just read a few verses here to emphasize our point. Remember here in John 6, Jesus taught this powerful sermon about being the bread of life and how if we're going to live forever, we must eat of him. We must consume ourselves of him, be totally absorbed in him, make him first place in our lives. That's what Jesus taught. And after he taught that in John 6 and verse 66, it says, as a result of this, as a result of that sermon, many of his disciples withdrew. They left him and they were not walking with him anymore. So Jesus said to the 12 apostles, you do not want to go away also, do you? Verse 68, Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? I like that. To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Notice how even though there were literally thousands of people who stopped walking with Jesus on this day, there were a few who stuck right there with him, weren't they? There were a few who were loyal to him. They were devoted to him. They refused to leave his side. That's commitment. Commitment to Jesus involves being devoted to him, trusting in him, sticking with him no matter what. My question is this. Does this describe you? Is this you right now? Are you doing what is necessary to truly follow Jesus? Are you devoted to him? Are you really devoted to Jesus? Are you devoted to him not just when we gather together on Sunday, not just between 9 and 12 o'clock on Sunday morning, but all the time, every single day, on your job, at school, in your neighborhood, behind closed doors with your family? Are you real and genuine in your faith? And do you really trust Jesus? Do you really trust that with every instruction he gives you in his word, there's only love behind that instruction? Do you really trust that Jesus knows what is best? Do you really trust that Jesus will never lead you astray? Or do you live your life doing your own thing? Do you live your life directing your own steps? Do you live your life only obeying the words of Jesus when it doesn't get in the way of what you may personally already want to do? Do you really trust Jesus? And are you willing to stick with him? Are you willing to stick with him even when your life gets hard? Are you willing to stick with him even when you come across something in the Bible that you've never seen and it really challenges you? Are you willing to stick with him even when you get really sick or you lose your job or you lose a loved one or even when life is not working out for you in the way that you desire? Are you devoted to Jesus? Are you denying yourself? Are you taking up your cross daily and are you really following him? I want to close by just suggesting to you this morning that these things, these three things are things, my friends, that we absolutely have to do if we're going to be committed to the Son of God and we can't expect to make it to heaven if we're not really committed to the Son of God. So with that being said, now it's time for us to examine ourselves. It's time to examine our commitment and our devotion. If you're here this morning and you've never committed yourself to Jesus ever, you have a great opportunity right here and right now to do that. You have the opportunity to believe in him, confess his name, repent of your sins, and obey his commandment to be baptized for the remission of your sins, and then leave here truly devoted and committed to him. If you've done those things in the past, but you realize, you know, I haven't been what the Lord wants me to be, I'm living a double life right now. If that describes you, how about rededicating yourself this morning? How about denying yourself this morning and taking up your cross right now and then coming after Jesus to follow Jesus? Whatever spiritual needs you may have, whatever you may need to do to make it right with the Son of God, don't put that off. Don't procrastinate. Take advantage of the opportunity you have right here and right now to come to him before it's too late. And if we can help you, we'll do that. Let's stand. Let's sing together.